it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Orioles and Nats again tonight. Orioles looking for a sixth consecutive victory. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this. The 1-2 pitch on the way. Putting on a miss. He got him, and he got him on a changeup. And Harper almost came out of his shoes. Boy, Gausman fooled him. And Kevin Gausman tonight off to a 1-2-3 start as he strikes out Harper to end the top of the first inning. How about that? Kevin Gausman last night, 7 innings, gave up 2 runs, only 5 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Very impressive. And as the skipper put it.
No, that was big. I thought the 7th inning was probably one of the keys of the game. We were short in the pen. Kevin really stepped forward against really good offensive team. Really good. Probably as tough a lineup to match up with out of your bullpen because of the way they're constructed. Really good command of the fastball. Really elevated when he needed to and wanted to. And that's a hard lineup to go through. And that was impressive.
Yeah, it certainly was. Very impressive. Kevin Gausman back in the win column in that game last night. Now, Orioles offensively last night, yeah, good ball game. 6 runs, 10 hits, 3 home runs in the first inning. And how about Caleb Joseph? His batting average last night rose, I think, like something like 66 points for Caleb Joseph. So, again, as Buck Showalter put it.
Caleb has a track record of being able to do some things offensively. Maybe when he got that one albatross off his back, he was able to kind of clear his mind a little bit. He jokes, and he's very open with you guys. He talks well and presents himself well. But believe me, there inside, it bothers him, when he's not contributing like he's capable of. Proud of the way he handles it, because a lot of people would, go sit back in the dining room until y'all leave. He doesn't. So everybody's real happy for me. Adam was next to me his last at bat. Get that fourth, guys, because Caleb carries himself the right way. Things go well, he's there. When things go poorly, he's there. He's not going to shirk away from responsibility.
And he did get that fourth hit in that game last night. Caleb, by the way, again catching here. Ubaldo Jimenez catching him in the ballgame here tonight. Of course, last night we saw Matt Wieters for the first time in an opposing uniform, and the skipper thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah, it's a tug, that very classy thing the organization did there with the welcome back. I had to swallow hard. I think we all did. It was another, like Miguel, it was a good night. We won, and Matt had a good night.
He certainly did. Had a big double, put the Nationals back in that game late in that contest last night. And, of course, there was Trey Mancini. Yep, 2-run home run in the first inning. Mancini off to a sizzling start. And Buck Showalter, what has impressed you the most about Trey?
I think he's handled the notoriety or whatever that's come his way real well. That's what's impressed me, is he very humble. That's impressed me. The other stuff, there's a lot of questions to ask, a lot of bridges to cross before, But he's off to a good start this year, and I think he's handled the success run thrown his way real well. I know his teammates have been impressed by the way he's handled it.
Yeah, that certainly is the case. Mancini now 10 home runs in his first 26 big league games. Now, last night, Brad Brock was the closer, had a tough inning, and he was also the closer, the finale against the Chicago White Sox. So I don't imagine Brock would even be available tonight. Most likely Darren O'Day. But, hey, your question is, who's going to close? Well, Buck Showalter says.
A lot depends on health, too, how we feel they are physically. I'm hoping Michael gets into that mix, and Donnie Hart might close a game out for us. And I'm hoping another guy kind of steps forward as potential of that. It's kind of a matchup thing and a health thing. I'm not ever going to broadcast who's not available, but we're going to continue to monitor that real closely.
Yeah, as always. So, again, most likely Darren O'Day, although he also worked in the game last night, an easy 1-2-3. About the game tonight, well, should be an interesting pitching matchup. Ubaldo Jimenez is on the hill. Now, Ubaldo, his last appearance in relief and looked real good against the Boston Red Sox. So, Buck, does that help Ubaldo?
Ubaldo, we're hoping he can pick up where he left off there with Boston and move on it. We'd like to get some length out of him tonight, but he's facing a good lineup. But I think through some of the ups and downs with Ubaldo, you're not really sure. You see two or three. He had a pretty good stretch last year where he was pretty consistent. I'm hoping that last outing in the bullpen, which in the past has kind of helped him a little bit, I hope it kind of kickstarts him to a little more consistent outings. I hope they're going to have something to say about it.
Yep, as always, the opponents has a lot to say about it. Ubaldo, by the way, his last start was on April 29th. His opponent tonight, Max Scherzer, Mad Max. His record 4-2, He comes in with a 266. He is nasty. Buck Showalter, what is the nastiest thing about Scherzer?
If you look at his, you know, somebody say, oh, he's a strong traditional split, but left-handers don't hit him well either. He's a slider, you know, too. He's just so many weapons and real deceptive delivery. Don't see the ball well off of him.
All right, so Scherzer, by the way, 5-2 in his career against the Orioles. Ubaldo, 6-2 with a 224 against the Nationals. Some pretty good numbers there. Last night, Joey Rickard began the game with a home run. Always a nice way to get a game underway. Joey Rickard and Jim Hunter, they visited, and we'll hear that conversation when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Orioles and Nationals wrap up the Baltimore part of the home-and-home series tonight, visiting with Joey Rickard, who got the game off to a flying start last night. How many leadoff home runs in your life can you remember hitting?
Not many, you know, two or three maybe.
That's it, just two or three in your whole life, Little League, everything.
Oh, yeah. I was, you know, not much of a power guy. Still am not, but, you know, it couldn't be more than a handful.
Now, you're swinging the bat very well right now, and you're also seeing the ball very well. When you get to that mode where everything feels good, is that when the success starts?
Definitely. You know, when you're seeing the ball well, you're able to lay off pitches. You know, they're big league pitchers. They got good stuff. So just that one or two extra pitches and at bat you get to lay off, you know, gives you an extra chance.
Did you feel that it took a few games after coming off the DL? You've hit collectively very well since that first game in New York, but the first couple of games, it looked like you were looking for your timing.
Yeah, you could say that. It's a hard game. So, you know, just consistently getting more ABs. Believe it or not, just the rehab games aren't quite like, you know, the big league games under the lights. It's a little different. So just getting a few games under my belt has helped tremendously.
The other part of your season, Joey, is you've been platooning, and it's been very, very successful. You and Gentry getting a lot of at-bats, Mancini against left-handed pitching, and then the lefties going against right-handers. And I'm wondering, is that a role that's difficult to adjust to? Because all your career, you were accustomed to playing every day.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just growing up in the minors, you know, you play every day. But doing this last, you know, year and a half, 2 years, it's, you know, I kind of know, you know, what Buck's thinking sometimes. And I kind of got a heads up now that, you know, when my situation, you know, my name might be called. So I'll be ready for it.
What have you had to do in terms of adjustments to be as ready as you can be when you're not in there every day?
The big part is just me. It's, you know, I'm going to go in most part, you know, because of my legs. You know, if I can get my legs going, get them loose, and then I'll pretty much be ready for defense or offense.
So the batting part, because you're in there enough, you don't worry about losing what you may have going positive at the moment, even though you're not in there hitting every day.
No, you know, I try not to think about that too much. That's why I'm not, you know, I don't do the cage, you know, three or four innings of the game. I just kind of like to just go up there and hit, you know, not think too much. But as long as my legs and my body's loose, you know, I should be able to remain healthy and be ready.
You know, that's a unique approach, and I often wonder as we're watching the games, if when you go to bat, are you looking for a specific pitch that you like to hit, or with all the scouting reports that we have, are you trying to eliminate a nasty pitch that guy might throw at you?
Yeah, you know, either or, depending on the pitcher, but the scouting reports definitely help a lot. I use those to my advantage and kind of play percentages with the guy and maybe take an educated guess at a pitch.
All right, last night when you're facing Gonzalez in the first inning, what are you looking for?
You know, just a pitch over the plate. He's got a lot of movement. You know, it sounds, you know, pretty standard. But, yeah, just something over the plate, and hopefully I can put a good swing on one.
All right, so you have a lefty, and you're right. He does have a lot of good movement, and it's ironic. He hadn't been giving up home runs, and here he gives up three in one inning. Just one of those fluky things, but it was almost as if the power started to rub off down the lineup when you got him going.
Definitely. It's contagious. You know, either it starts with me, you know, getting on base, getting a hit, walk, anything. It kind of usually leads to something good.
The team is off to a tremendous start, and if you go back to spring training, and I know the players don't necessarily look at prognostications, but nobody expected this team to do anything except the 25 guys in that clubhouse. Are you pleased with the start because you knew this was a good team?
Yeah, you know, it's been a good month for us, month and a half, so we're just, you know, the guys in that clubhouse, you know, we've got great leaders that won't allow us to, you know, get content in any way, so yeah, so far, so good.
And how is that stated, don't get content?
Oh, I mean, it's just, you know, have fun every day. You know, go out there and, you know, stay aggressive and just play your game.
You know, the thing about this team and early on, you won quite a few games before the bats coming around, scoring two runs and winning games. And it's very hard to do that. And I'm wondering if, as a player, when you go through stretches where you're winning games however you need to get it done or whatever's necessary, does that have a carryover over a long year that you've been there already? So, hey, here's another day. Let's just go do it.
Yeah, you know, this is the first month. The pitchers have done incredible job of keeping us in ball games and allowing the offense to get in a rhythm throughout the game. And yeah, I think we've won games, you know, in all sorts of fashion so far, so that'll help us.
Do you feel that because this team is basically a veteran team, you're one of the young guys, but you were here last year, because it's basically a veteran team, that they don't let things bother them? I mean, I've never been around a group like this that from yesterday to today, it's as if yesterday didn't exist.
Yeah, you know, it's they don't let things carry on too long, good or bad. So I've just kind of watched throughout the last year and seen how guys go about the business, good or bad, and you know, you really can't tell, you know, what they did the night before. So it's definitely fun to be around. It's something I should learn from.
And as this year goes on, because of that, do you feel that that's a good approach to go about it, because then you never get too high or too low?
Definitely. It's a very good approach. I don't see any panic ever in this team and these guys, and that's something that, you know, has helped me throughout this last year, so hopefully it'll continue.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter, some outstanding pitching in this ballgame. Ubaldo Jimenez and Max Scherzer toe-to-toe all the way until the eighth inning. Ubaldo allowed just one run in the first seven innings. And Scherzer along the way had a no-hitter in this game, a no-hit bid until the bottom of the sixth inning. Eventually, it was Logan Verrett coming out of the bullpen. Yep, he came on in the 10th inning after Michael Givens gave up a leadoff single in a tie game. And all Verrett did was go three scoreless innings as he picks up the victory to run his record to 2-0. But again, Ubaldo Jimenez outstanding in this game until the eighth inning. He began the game with four consecutive outs, and then he made the mistake of getting behind Murphy, 3-1, and eventually he gave Murphy a pitch to hit. And coming in, Murphy, his last 12 games, hitting just under .400. Yeah, Mr. Murphy. And he hits a drive to deep right. Backing up is Smith, and now looking behind him, and it's back about 15 rows. Out there in right center. My goodness. Yeah, Mr. Murphy, his sixth. And it's a 1-0 Washington lead. So after that, Ubaldo Jimenez really settled in. At one time, he retired 9 in a row. And at one time, he retired 14 out of 15 batters. It remained 1-0. Max Scherzer, man, he was brilliant throughout most of his ballgame here tonight. He got the 3 outs in the first. He got him 1-2-3 in the second. He got him 1-2-3 in the third. He got him 1-2-3 in the fourth inning and had a 1-0 lead into the fifth inning. JJ outside the box. And now one foot in. And now the other foot in. A very wide and a semi-open stance. He looks out towards Scherzer. As the right-hander comes to a set, he'll check Scope. And now he comes home. There goes Scope. And a swing and a miss. He got him. He got him on a slow, tantalizing breaking ball. Scherzer, his eighth strikeout. And tonight, he has gone 5 hitless innings. Indeed. Until the sixth inning with a 1-0 lead. And that's when Mr. Seth Smith came up to hit.
And Scherzer deals, swinging a high fly ball, right field. Back it goes, back it goes. It is gone for Seth Smith. And we are tied. There goes the no-hitter, and there goes the shutout, and the Orioles are back in the game. Seth Smith, his third of the year, he stays red hot. And it's a brand new game at Camden Yards in the sixth.
Yes, sir, there you go. Smith with a home run. Ubaldo and Scherzer hooked up in a 1-1 game until Ubaldo came out to pitch in the top of the eighth inning. Anthony Rendon, a leadoff single. And then Wieters, a blooper that found a hole, a base hit. Two aboard with nobody out. Heisey came up. Ubaldo struck him out. But then Lind came off the bench, Adam Lind, as a pinch hitter. And, boy, he's done a real good job off the bench this year. 1-1 to Lind. And it matters again at the belt. And delivers. Lind, fly ball into center. Pretty well hit. Adam Jones, way back there. He's going to jump up, and he cannot catch it. That ball is gone. Adam Lind, the third time this season, comes off the bench and hits one out. And the Nationals have taken a 4-1 lead. Unfortunate. Well, then Jones came up in the eighth and brought the Orioles just a little bit closer. Adam is 0-3 tonight. And against Scherzer, that's a headline. Because he came in 12-25 against Scherzer in his career. Tonight, 0-3, a couple of fly ball outs. And then in the sixth inning, he hit a rocket to third base. And there's a rocket to left. Adam Jones, break that baby bye-bye. How about that? To make it 4-2. Adam with his fifth home run this season. And it was a rocket to make it a two-run game. So eventually the game went down to the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Nationals had a two-run lead. Left-hander Eni Romero came out of the bullpen. He walked Chris Davis to begin the bottom of the ninth inning. Trumbo came up to hit into a force-out, and eventually it was a fly ball out off the bat of Trey Mancini, and that's when Scope came up to hit, and, he brought his team a little bit closer as well. Scope does a shot to right, and that's a base hit. That ball is in the corner, going to be extra bases. Trumbo can score. Scope on his way to second base. He's going to pull up right there, the ball back in. Well, that's an RBI double to make it a one-run game. And now the tying run is out there at second base with two outs. And now it's up to J.J. Hardy. Yep, it was up to J.J. Hardy. And guess what? J.J. Hardy got it done. The count 2-0. Gentry tying run, second base with two outs. Romero, again, the left-hander is ready. And he delivers. J.J., ground ball, up the middle, right center, a dive. It's off the glove. It's into center. Here comes Gentry, and he has tied the game. J.J. Hardy got it through the infield. The second baseman, Murphy, dived. He got a glove on it, but it got through. Gentry scores, and the Orioles have come all the way back in the bottom of the ninth inning. And now here's Caleb Joseph. My goodness. What a ball game. Yeah, what a ball game indeed. Eventually, the Orioles had a chance to win the thing in the bottom of the 11th inning against Turner with two outs and the bases empty. Yep, J.J. Hardy, he doubled. And there was no one on the bench to pinch run. So J.J. stayed out there at second base with two outs. It brought up Caleb Joseph, and that's when the Orioles almost won the game. Line drive, right field, that's a base hit. Here comes J.J. Here's Harper up and throwing on a bounce. Two bounces. The tag. They got him at the plate. Harper threw a strike on two bounces to extend the game. We head to the 12th. Meanwhile, Logan Verrett was throwing three scoreless innings and in the bottom of the 12th inning. One out, bases empty. Adam Jones, a single opposite field. Manny Machado, a single up the middle, on which Adam Jones went first to third. Davis came up. They walked him intentionally. Bases loaded, one out. Winning run just 90 feet away, and Trumbo didn't wait long.
Orioles with a golden chance to walk it off. Bases loaded, one down. And the pitch, swinging a line drive, base hit left field! And the Orioles win it. Trumbo delivers. Here's Adam Jones to score. And the O's come all the way back from 4-1 down in the eighth, and they beat the Nationals. Mark Trumbo, the walk-off base hit, as Adam Jones comes around to score. What a win for the Orioles as they take over first place in the AL East.
Yeah, Yankees got beat. Red Sox are getting beat. The Blue Jays got beat. Orioles in the win column, and they're back on top in the AL East. Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Time to hear from the skipper now as the Orioles walk it off 5-4 and 12. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
The second time, I think, where Mark, someone's been walked in front of Mark intentionally and then he's come through with the big hit. I know it's pick your poison, but pretty happy when you see him up in that situation.
No, I'm happy with Chris up there too. There's a lot of decisions over the course of that game. So, everybody, you know your players, you know what you have and what you don't have. And no, there's I feel good with any of our guys up there, either one of those guys.
Second time you've called on Logan Verrett in a in an extra inning game, and he's giving you length.
Yeah, Logan, that was a key for us because you know we only had really three pitchers tonight out of the bullpen, so we had to do some things differently with everybody, including Ubaldo. So that was a challenge for him. We were contemplating, Roger and I were about sending Miley out to the bullpen. We're hoping to stay away from that. But no, Logan was considering he'd had 8 days off too. That was pretty impressive, you know. But he did a lot of work in between. But that's twice Logan's done that for us.
Do you feel like Ubaldo made some strides tonight?
Ubaldo pitched real well. He's one of the reasons why when you got a guy like Scherzer out there, you know, runs are going to be at a premium for your offense. So you got to really dial up a good one, and he did. Really proud of him. That's a really good lineup. He pitched well.
Did the fact that you, like you said, you were shorthanded in the bullpen, was that why Ubaldo got maybe a couple extra batters in that eighth inning?
Oh yeah, that figured into it strongly. You know, we just didn't. You know, we got to think about a lot of things. We've got Michael and we got Donnie a little bit, and you know they got all the moves there with the switch hitters and left and right. Just. He'd actually had some success against him. You know, he'd given up a slicing ball to right and a broken bat single and came back with a strikeout and just hung a split, I believe it was.
What were you feeling in the dugout from the hitters? You know, Scherzer goes the first five innings without them really getting anything off him. Did you feel like that was the type of thing was coming, or was there?
Well, you know, with guys like him, you're hoping you sneak in that first hit somewhere. You know, and Smitty, you know. It's one of those things where Smitty, I think, hits a breaking ball, and we kind of look around and go, we're tied, you know. And then against Scherzer, there's just very few opportunities. But you got to pitch well to have a shot at guys like him and the guy tomorrow and the guy last night. And they've got a good pitching staff. That's why they're one of the reasons why they're so good.
But do you think Jones' homer in the eighth is just sort of – I know you guys never had any quit in you, but really sort of spurred the comeback on? I mean, you finished it off against the bullpen, but
– I don't know. There's a lot of things you could say. I mean, J.J. had a big knock off a guy throwing 100. And, John blocked the ball out down the line. You know, we were fortunate in a couple situations, but the guys just never give in. They think they got an opportunity as long as they got an at-bat and some outs left. But it's hard to beat those type of guys. You got to have some things fall your way, especially, you know, a little shorthanded in the pen.
Look, I know you're not going to beat your chest here, but after all that's happened in the last two or three weeks, you have the best record in baseball today, right now.
Do we? A lot of baseball we played. So far, so good. We've played a tough part of schedule. Not that it's any part easy up here. Because, you know, what you perceive as a hard part of your schedule in April when the season's over, you might look back at it and say maybe it wasn't. You never know how the season's going to play out. But, our guys have, grinded through the first month and some odd half. But it's a lot of it's been to do with the pitching. Guys have done the job out of the pen just about every time we've had to reach for a need. Down below, those guys have come up and, for the most part, really done a job for us. It's really a good test on what's going on down there.
Buck, do you think you'd have to make another roster move?
Well, I'm sure Dan's sitting in my office when I get back. I've got to check on – it's hard to know whether Brock or Day will be available tomorrow, Mike will be available. A lot of those things, you can't make that decision until tomorrow. And they didn't want to use Asher again tonight. He was – actually, usually what happens when a guy pitches like that, they're a little sore the second day, which he was today. And Roger and I made the decision we were going to use three or four of our guys tonight regardless. Okay. Thank you.
Well, Buck Showalter following the Orioles' 5-4 win in 12 innings as they walk it off on Mark Trumbo's base hit.